Hey, good evening.
Yeah.
My name is Nick. I'd like to welcome you guys to Shaped by What You Love. I want to start simply by a bunch of thank yous, because there's a lot of people to thank for making this evening possible. First, the sponsor, Sojourn Network, Acts 29 West, Generations Church, Crossway Publishing, The Table, and Cross of Christ Church. All of these people came together to make tonight possible. So thank you guys very, very much. We also need to thank our great volunteers from Cross of Christ. Thank you guys very much for all manning the beers, right, everyone? Thank you. Thank you guys for manning registration, setting up, tearing down, sound, video, all of that. Thank you guys very much. Will you guys thank the volunteers? And then we also need to thank Dane and Eagle and Pig. Yeah. A few notes before we jump in. First, if you haven't had to find them yet, you probably will through the night. Or I shouldn't say them, it. There is a bathroom right here. Feel free to come on up during the breaks or even during the speakers if you need to. But they're located right here. Secondly, the beverages are back here to your right. All we ask is that you please not take any beer out into the parking lot. And for the flow of the evening, you should have received a... can you mind, baby? Just a little overview of who the speakers are and some of their background, who the sponsors are, but also if you look here on the inside page up top, you will see the order for the evening. The flow will be, we'll have a speaker, we'll have a 10-minute break, speaker, 10-minute break, speaker, 10-minute break, and at the end we'll have a Q&A. And so you'll notice here, there is a hashtag for you on the front page here, hashtag SBWYL. Should have bought a vowel there, right? SBWYL. If you have questions for the speakers based on their topics, we would love to answer them for you in the Q&A. So feel free to tweet that. We will find them in the Twitterverse, and we will ask them during the Q&A. Good? All right. Solid. Thank you. All right. Let me begin. What I would like to do is spend 15 minutes simply laying two presuppositions of the whole evening so that the speakers don't need to touch them in their talks, and they can focus on the particulars of how we are shaped by the power of stories, by our views of sex, and by our obsession with health and fitness. So two presuppositions for the whole evening. First, that we do what we love. That we do what we love. So even if you are distantly familiar with Christianity, you are aware of the Ten Commandments. Right? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. You're probably familiar with those kind of commands. Don't do these bad things. But what you may forget or may not know is that the very first commandment is what? Those of you who remember, you should love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. The first command is addressed to our hearts and our desires. The great reformer, Martin Luther, in his commentary on Galatians, said that if we'd only keep that first commandment, we wouldn't actually need the other nine. If we loved first, we wouldn't need to be told not to do bad things. Jesus, when asked what the greatest commandment was, summed it up with love God and love your neighbor. We are, as humans, primarily beings that desire and love. We do what we love. And this truth underlies good things that we do for good reasons. It underlies good things that we do for good reasons. Think about acts of genuine kindness and mercy that you show to people in your life. The good things you do for good reasons. So I'm not tooting my own horn here. I'm going to use a negative example in a minute. But today, my wife and our neighbor corralled four rambunctious kids into a minivan to take them to the zoo. And on the way, they stopped at our favorite coffee shop. And I know what Kim's favorite little plate to get there, the avocado toast. I know what she likes. So I called ahead to make sure they would prepare it in advance so that when it comes to wrangling kids in a coffee shop, parents, that a fun place to wrangle kids, pretty rough, right? So I made sure it was prepared for her in advance when she got there. Just a good thing I wanted to do because I simply loved my wife and wanted to reduce the stress when she got there. And this truth also underlies the bad things we do for bad reasons. This truth underlies the bad things that we do for bad reasons. What was Breaking Bad but a five-season journey watching Walt love power and money more than his family or anything else? To the extent of even taking on an entirely different personality, right? Heisenberg. He loved and he did out of that love. Maybe for you personally, why do you lie? Think about the last time that you lied. Could it be because you love what others think of you more than the truth? Or that you love your own comfort more than the discomfort of what telling the truth would bring to you. And lastly, this truth underlies the good things that we do for bad reasons.
When you do something that appears good but is ultimately done for your own benefit, you're ultimately giving to yourself. You're loving yourself more than that that person that you are claiming to serve. Husbands, maybe you're in the same boat as me sometimes, where I will clean the house in a subtle effort to get a foot rub. Or maybe a little more than that, as my wife likes to call it, chore play. This truth underlies the selfish things, the good things that we do for bad reasons. Humans are primarily beings who desire and love. Before a word comes out of your mouth, before you do anything with your hands, before you post anything to social media, you are loving. The late David Foster Wallace, an agnostic, even uses the word worship to describe what we're talking about tonight. Here's what he says in his commencement speech at Kenyon College. Because here's something that's weird but true. In the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there is actually no such thing as atheism. There is no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. What he's touching on there is that every one of us pours ourselves out for something, loves something or a person or experiences. We cannot help but give of our desires and affections to something else. There is no detached, entirely objective approach to life. We do what we love. The second presupposition is that we are shaped by those very things that we love. Those of you who are into health and fitness and diet, finish this statement for me. You are what you eat, right? So, clearly, I eat a lot of asparagus and kale and healthy things, right? I was laughing at myself last week as I was on the couch watching a show about Navy SEAL buds training while popping my wife's cookie dough like it was Pez, just pounding through that stuff and just laughing like, yeah, guys, hold your breath for another minute. This is great. You are what you eat. You are shaped by what you love. In the Bible, in 2 Kings, the writer of 2 Kings says, they followed worthless idols and they themselves became worthless. Even in the Old Testament, there's this theme through it that touches on the things that we love and give ourselves, the things that we worship end up shaping us in return. One of the most practical ways I've seen this in my life was I worked at a record store that felt a lot like this barbershop for a few years. And it was really funny to watch people come in to the store dressed like they just left a Gap outlet, buy an Offspring or a Blink record, and about a year later they might come in having put egg white in their hair, having Liberty Spikes, buying Crass and Dead Kennedys records. You got to watch this transformation as this person was shaped by the things that they loved. Now, don't hear this as a puritanical polemic against desire. Desire in and of itself is not a bad thing. You were made to desire. You were made to desire. And the question is what you desire, and tonight, how that or those objects of your desire shape you in return. So let me close with the rest of David Foster Wallace's quote from that commencement address. Because here's something else that's weird but true. In the day-to-day life, in the day-to-day trenches of adult life, there is actually no such thing as atheism. There is no such thing as not worshiping. Everybody worships, and the only choice is what we get to worship. Here's the rest of the quote. And the compelling reason for maybe choosing some sort of God or spiritual type thing to worship is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap real meaning in life, then you will never have enough. You will never feel like you have enough. Worship your body and beauty and sexual allure, and you will always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before they finally grieve you. Worship power, you will end up feeling weak and afraid, and you will need ever more power over others to numb you to your own fear. Worship your intellect, being seen as smart, and you will end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the verge of being found out. But the insidious thing about these forms of worship is that they're unconscious. They are default settings. Friends, we do what we love, and we are shaped by what we love. And our hope tonight is to help you look at some of the ways in our culture how we are shaped by those very things that we love. So let me welcome up our first speaker.